The reason why some people don't get referrals, they're scared they're going to refer somebody, and then they're going to be embarrassed because they're not going to be handled that responsibly.
How do you demonstrate or make them feel the truth that there really isn't risk?
First of all, you're going to manage your reputation, right? People want better things, but they have to see the value in it.
It's Tim Brown, and this is the Plumbing and HVAC Hustle Podcast. And today I have the pleasure of having on Rick Picard from Rodenheiser Home Services. How you doing, Rick?
Great. Thanks for having me on, Tim. We appreciate it.
Absolutely. And you came highly recommended. And I don't think it's just because you've done $12 million in HVAC the last 3 years.
Yes.
I think it's probably partly because you care about homeowners. And you want to do what's right for them, and people respect you in the industry, which I think it's awesome when both of those come in the same package.
Yeah, I don't think it's by accident. I don't think that you do high volume sales without having the right motive, right? But if you don't care for people, I don't think that's going to happen. You have to care for people first.
I love to hear it. Could you give like a 2-minute background of just like where you came from and, you know, what you're up to now?
Yeah, I've been in the HVAC industry my whole working life. I went to a trade high school for HVAC. I worked in the field as a service guy installer, all the way up till I got too tired of working hard. You know, my knees said this is enough, and I got into home sales. So I've been doing home sales now for 25 years. So a lot different now from when I first started. I've learned a lot along the way, had a lot of help from a lot of people. And so it's just a great opportunity being in the HVAC field. A lot of people need us. A lot of people need the help. So it's been great.
25 years. What's the thing that's changed the most since 25 years ago to now, like in the industry?
Yeah.
Maybe homeowners' expectations too.
Yeah, I think a lot more people now, a lot more choices for people than there ever was. A lot more people are focused on, you know, green or energy efficiency, energy savings, you know, global, you know, so there's a lot more focus and a lot even information from a lot of sources about heating HVAC in people's homes. So I think it's a big difference. A lot more interest in it, I think, now than there was before.
Awesome.
You know, 25 years ago, you always sold the cheapest stuff you could sell. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, now it's really what's going to provide the best comfort, efficiency, dependability for a customer.
So obviously we're going to go a lot into like how right. Are you selling $12 million 3 years in a row? But like, give me a little bit of like the key stats. You know, you talked about $25,000 average ticket, 480 separate homeowners.
Right. Yeah.
Do you have any other like key information and like those people that are going to say, no way, can you give a little bit more context?
Yeah. Yeah. So last year I sold 480 jobs. My average ticket was 25,000 and I did 12 million. So that's roundabout figures, you know, and it's certainly possible if you know what you're doing, right? And you have, you know, it's also a marriage, right? I work for a great company. All right. You know, they do their part. You know, when I came to Rodenheiser, they had a culture of service and quality. They just didn't really have a sales culture. And so when I came here 13 years ago, that's what I brought with me. I brought a culture of sales. And it's great when you have a great product to sell. Right. So So that they keep up their end. I keep up my end. So really, it's a good marriage.
I'm guessing you're creating referrals, because a guy like you that's this good at this is creating referrals wherever they go. I know that from experience shadowing other high performers. But how much of the leads are them versus self-generated leads?
Right.
And what are they doing to get leads?
Yeah, well, you know, the company, I get a lot of referral work, tons and tons of referral work. So, you know, the biggest thing is I ask for referral work. You know what I mean? So if they're happy, I says, well, if there's anybody else that I can provide service to and you refer me, I'm going to guarantee you if they call me up and say you told them to call, they're going to get same day service and I'm never going to embarrass you. And I think the customers have to hear that, right? Because the reason why some people don't get referrals, they're scared they're going to refer somebody, and then they're going to be embarrassed because they're not going to be handled that responsibly. So I promise my customers, if you're nice enough to refer me, I'm going to handle that responsibly. You're never going to end up saying, "I called Rick, he didn't call me back," or "he didn't come back." So I jump right on right away. I try to do them same day if I can.
When do you ask for referrals in the sale?
All the time, before, during, after,
Yeah.
any opportunity I can. You know what I mean? Even when I send, if they call me up with a follow-up email, I'll email them back. And I'll have a little thing at the bottom. Don't forget, I'm here for anybody you may know that might need me service. Don't be shy. And so I think that's a big thing. I've got so many people say, you know, a lot of times I don't refer people, but my experience with you is so good, I feel comfortable referring you. And I says, and so I think they have to hear you promise that you're going to handle it responsibly. So when it gets to the numbers, you know, it depends on the time of the year. But you know, I would say a good third of my leads come from referral work. Yeah, and then
Heard
the
of
rest,
that. So a good 4 million maybe.
exactly.
Okay. That's
That's right.
good.
Now, when I
I mean,
hear
like,
that
because a lot of these people, the top number they can think of or imagine is 4 million. So that's why I like talking to guys like you to just like increase, like, certainly 12 or like 25 years is a long time, but like you can increase the top of what's possible in your mind, knowing that Rick Picard exists.
yeah. There you go. So, yeah. So, you know, when I say about a third, those are people that I did business for before calling the office and said they want to do something else, or I give them to a friend and they're calling the office, calling me. So sometimes they call, a lot of people call me directly, and then I call the office and have them set it all up and everything. But, you know, the company, as you said about marketing, we do a lot of advertising on the professional sports radios, TV, sports show stations, you know, the Patriots. I don't know if you've ever heard of them. Patriots, the Red Sox, the Celtics, and the Bruins. I can't tell how many customers say, "Yeah, I called you because I see you on the Bruins all the time, or on the Patriots TV, or the sports talk shows." And of course, we do, you know, make sure we control our reputation on Facebook and all the social media, all that type of thing. So, yeah, I get a lot of leads from the company.
Awesome. And how big is the company?
We got, I think, about 240 employees now.
Okay.
Yeah. I think it's over 40, 45 million, I think, in that area of revenue.
Awesome. So before we get into how'd you do it, what would you recommend, like, if people are considering comfort advisors, dedicated people versus like selling technicians, what would you recommend to those companies that are looking at those two options?
Well, I really know, you know, I kid around and say I like selling tech with the from other companies because they're really good lead generators, right? So I all the time I get tech leads from my competition because the techs aren't focused on the global system, right? They'll go and give a, if there's a bad furnace, give a price on an A furnace, maybe two, all right? Which drives the customer to call for maybe someone has to offer more, right? So as a professional salesman, I'm going there, I'm going to offer them six options. I'm going to look at the system more globally, and renovation of ductwork, right? Air quality, a lot of things that I'm going to offer, a lot of selling techs don't. So it's one company I know particularly, I get tech leads from them all the time just because they're selling techs. I'm so worried about going on the next call, or they more like to fix things than maybe a comfort advisor would be.
Yeah, 'cause you know, every hammer, everything looks like a nail, right? So if you're like looking, "Oh, I wonder how what kind of crazy situation I'm gonna get to fix today." Boom. All right, so let's role play this, Rick.
All right.
Pretend I'm a young HVAC comfort advisor and I am $3 million in sales. And I think I know something, but you can see that I could do six in
Right.
5 years if I just learn a few things. What would you, what are some things like, I'm gonna just give you 15 minutes to advise me in that way. Like, what do I need to do? Let's say I'm like, "Hey, Rick, can you help me just add another million a year?" Like, I'm
You know, it's funny you say that. Now I think of it, you know, I was in Cleveland, Ohio, with Joe Casera, doing some work for Joe Casera there, and I was a guest speaker there. And one of the people in the office and the audience came to see me afterward, and he said to me, "I want to bring you and wife to dinner. I want to talk to you." So I got talked to him, and I said, "How much did you sell last year?" He said, "I sold $1.5 million." I said, "Well, this is back then." I said, "Well, I sold 6 million, so I'll take you to dinner." All right. So I went to dinner, and after dinner, I said, "Why don't you come in my wife's hotel room? We'll talk a little bit." And we sat down, and we had a talk. And the kid had obviously done a lot of training, right? Had been to a lot of sales schools and everything. And he knew the right words, but it was almost used car salesman, right? So when I said to him, "Here's what I'm going to do for you." He was at a company with five salesmen. He had the top guy sold 3 million, and he was bottom guy. All right. I think he actually sold 1 million. And I said, "Here's what we're going to do. You got to call me twice a week, and we're going to talk about what your motive is for being a salesperson." Right? When I asked him that question, it was average tickets, closing ratios, boop, 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 boop. Not once did he say to serve customers, to help people. I'm like, there's too many people that are going to see right through your tactics here. So I'm not saying you shouldn't develop sales skills, but your motive has to be the most important thing. So if your motive is there to is to go back to meet with two people to have a higher average ticket, that's different than going back to meet two people so they both have equal access to the information. You see, so it seems like a small thing, but it's really everything. All right. So I really had to talk
Can
him
you say
into
that one more time, the last thing you
it.
just said?
Yeah, so if your reason for getting back to meet the husband and wife is because it creates a higher average ticket, right, and a higher at closing ratio, it's different than going back to meet the husband and wife because you want them to have both equal access to the information, right? You don't want the wife to do your job and explain it to somebody else, or the husband explain it to her. That would be bad service. So I am dedicated to good service. Good service is I explain it. Everybody needs to have the information. So if there's a question, he's not asking her and she doesn't know. Right? So the reason why I want to go back is because I want that's good service. I don't do bad service, right? So the fact that I get higher closing rates and higher average tickets is the result of the service, not the reason for the service. Right? So after working with him just a couple of days a week for 3 or 4 or 5 months, he became top salesman by far in a very short period of time, because he had the skills but not the right reasons for doing what he was doing. Does that make sense to him?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
What he does is he teaches the most valuable team in your business. He'll just add nothing but profit.
There's so much money left in the call center. So much money. If you're not at a 90% booking rate, showing empathy on the phone, smiling on the phone, making sure they're having a better day after they got off the phone with you, then you need to call Power Selling Pros and see Brady.
I noticed that Joe Casera and Service MVP, that you had collaborated on them with the name for this. So, can you tell a brief story of how that came about?
Yes, exactly. I went, this was back in 2000, early 2002, 2004. I went to two of his classes. And, that's something I've been doing. I went to a lot of sales classes, and most of those sales classes are like, I was too busy saying, "I wouldn't do that, I wouldn't do that, I wouldn't do that," right? Joe's was different. Joe's classes were, "Oh, I could see my, I could do that." It just made sense to me, right? But in the class and in talking to other people, their motive again was that is powerful information. It was almost like they were getting this information to learn how to manipulate a customer instead of help a customer, right? And so I went to Joe. I said, "Joe, this information is great, but I think you really have to explain to people that the reason why we provide six options is because that's what good service looks like. It's bad service for us to pick what we think is right for them. All right, whether it's something cheaper or something expensive. Real cl class service is showing the two premium, two mid-range, and two economy, and then not deciding for them. Let them pick what's good for their family. All right. The fact that we have higher average closing ratios, higher tickets than ERA is not the reason why we do it. It's the result of what we do. You know what I mean? So I told him, I think this, what you're doing, you have to talk about your pure, about the motive for this. And if your motive is pure, then the techniques or the principles really that you're teaching is what he teaches, principles will apply. All right.
100%. And so
So,
he just like he knows you're a smart guy and he took that advice from
well,
you.
I think he knew that was an issue, but didn't know how to deal.
Yeah.
He felt that, you know, like you said, people can do bad things with good things all the time. They can
Oh yeah.
use it, right? You know what I mean? So I think he's a really smart guy. One of the smartest guys I've ever met is Joe Casera. Don't let anybody tell you any different. I know that guy for a long time, and he's a really smart guy. So he understood what I was trying to say, and he.
And now, from your perspective, and I guess anything you've learned from Joe, just like, why is this really different? Because it could look a little bit, as a impartial third party, like, is there really anything different? So what are we talking about? What is, and how, I'll ask another follow-up question. And basically, my other question is going to be, how do we hammer this home to ourselves? Because, like, you can learn things from a podcast or from an event or from an in-house training or something like that, but it's without that 2 calls a week accountability that you had with that guy, he might not have ever really solidified that information. So first, why is it really different? And then second, how can we really solidify this change and
Right.
shift
So
in
I
paradigm?
think the easiest way to, so I'll answer that one first. The easiest way to solidify it is to say, listen, I'm going to go to this next house to help these homeowners find everyone that focus on your motive. I'm here to help them find comfort, efficiency, dependability, service. All right. And so, if you hammer that home in your own mind, it's going to become evident to the customer, right? This guy isn't here to sell me anything. This guy is to help me solve a problem. All right. And it seems like a small difference, but it really isn't.
So
As soon as.
if I was in the van and I told myself, all right, because I'm a selfish guy, Rick, and I told myself, all right, if I hammer this concept of pure motive home to myself, I will sell more. So I better hammer it home.
Right.
How
But
deep does the rabbit hole go? Can
that's
I
what
use that? Can I use that to?
well, maybe you can start there, but it's bigger than that. It gets down to the heart, right? So listen, why am I here? I'm here to help these people. I don't care what kind of service industry you're in, you're helping people. All right? So if you go there and you want to help them when and then you provide solutions for them, I'm not there to sell them any of them. I'm here to help them buy something. Right? And then it just becomes easy. So then all the tactics that you've taught about how to overcome objections and everything are easier because now I want to overcome an objection not to sell something. I want to overcome an objection to help this person make the right decision. Right? I believe that if they don't go with Rodenheiser, they're making a mistake. And I don't want them to make the mistake because I don't know how to overcome an objection. Right? So an objection is an opportunity for me to help them see that I'm the right choice for them. Because like I said, there's no risk when you deal with Rodenheiser. I'm not saying we don't make mistakes. We haven't not saying we haven't run over mailbox and puts through ceilings and scratched floors, right? But with us, there's no risk because we take responsibility and we fix it, right? So I know when they deal with us and deal with me, that they're going to get everything they pay for and more.
How much do you think are somebody's willing to spend more, like monetarily or percentage wise, to decrease risk from your point of view?
Oh, I know that my prices are 30 to 50% higher than anybody else's in the area.
And you believe so, a
Well,
third to 50%, they are
my,
spending that partly just to decrease
well,
risk.
look at my average ticket. My average ticket is 25,000. I think in the industry it's what, 10? Maybe. All right. So if my average ticket is 25,000, people are willing to pay. You know, listen. You want to go to a five-star hotel, you better call 6 months ahead of time, right? People want better things, but they have to see the value in it, right? Now, if you pay top dollar to go stay at a nice hotel and then you go there and their service sucks, right? Then there's no value to it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's funny. I went, I stayed in a hotel, Four Seasons Hotel in Hawaii. And I went there and I was.
Which one? Which one? I'm going to one this week.
Yeah. Which I, Halalalai. Halalalai.
Okay. I'm going to Maui.
Yeah. So I went to Hawaii Lai, okay. And I was there for a golf tournament. And I'll tell you, Mitsubishi sent me. I saw a lot of Mitsubishi. So I went and I got to play with Ernie Els and, Fred Couples and Bernie Langer. It was unbelievable, right?
That's amazing. Shout out Mitsubishi.
Oh, yeah. So it was 7 nights I was there. And so my wife said, we're going all the way to Hawaii. Why don't we call the hotel and ask them how much it is for a second, a third night? I'm like, great. So I call up and I say, I'm Mr. Picard. Oh, we have a special rate for PGA Tour guest members. It's $4,000 a night.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is there a Red Roof Inn around?
Yeah. Yeah, that kind of just gets to that heart of like, what? There are certain things you would spend $4,000 a night on, though. But like, it's like, what is the value? Where, you know, what is the real value of things? You know, I think when I was looking at it, it was like $1,000 a night. I don't even know why. Yeah. I'm not 100% sure why we're booked here, but I think it was half points. But yeah, anyways, yeah.
But then here's the thing, I didn't get this HM. And then right after she said that to me, she said, oh, wait a second. I don't think we have any capacity. And she looked and she saw, actually, we don't have any capacity for 2 more weeks after that. All right. So I'm sure that hotel had rooms from 500 to 4,000. We were staying on, it was like a condo right on the 18th green. You know what I mean? It was unbelievable. But my point is, they were, even at those prices, I couldn't, even if I wanted to spend $4,000 a night, the suite I was in was not available.
Yeah. That's amazing.
You know,
talk to me about like, how can we decrease risk for our homeowners? Like, what do we, from your point of view, what do you do that makes them feel like that's true? Cause I'm sure there's other salespeople and comfort advisors coming and saying there's low risk and that's what you're paying for with our version. How do you demonstrate or make them feel the truth that there really isn't risk?
Well, first of all, you got to manage your reputation, right? We have 10,000 five-star reviews on our website in 3 years, right? So marketing and managing their reputation, it starts. So before you walk in the door, they already know our reputation is that there's no risk, right?
Yeah.
All right. And plus, you know, so in the old days, used to really, you know, have them call a friend, but now they just go to my website and see all the reviews they want to see.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that's the first thing. The next thing, it's easy because it has to do with a demonstration of service from the time they call. They call the office. They get scheduled right away within a day or two. We show up on time. We evaluate what their needs of the house. We find out about their family members, everything, what they're looking for. We produce a presentation on the spot, right? So everything we're doing is a demonstration of world-class customer service. So yeah. When we get to the point where we're overcoming objections and we get an objection, we handle it, we tell them, with us, there's no risk. Everything they've seen up to that point, from reputation to everything they've done dealing with us, shows that. So now it's an easy sell, right?
I like that. And I appreciate how you give a lot of credit to the company you work for and the work that they're putting in there.
Yeah.
If you had to go join a company in your area, do you think, like, obviously you'd help them increase the reputation and increase the like service level. Probably you'd probably push
on that. Just to sell in a higher dollar amount. Now you can afford to provide better service. Almost together.
Yeah.
Right. The problem is people try to give high level service and they don't charge enough.
Mm-hmm.
We can afford to provide the service because we're charging for it.
Yeah.
Right. But I've said that. I think I said that to you earlier in our discussion. It's like a good marriage. You know, Rodenheiser had a reputation of service and quality before I got there 13 years ago. You know, we did 5 million when I first got here. All right. What they needed was a culture of sales. Right. So it's a great marriage. We both need each other. They've given me a product they're able to sell and I can sell it. But if I didn't have the product to sell, I couldn't sell it.
I love that, Rick. I think that's smart. And I think like you giving that full credit there is huge. Can you give me some other more tactical? I appreciate I understand that the pure motive piece is the number one thing. Okay. And I respect it. And I think like, It sounds like maybe even like if this was me, I would probably like put like a card on my dashboard or something with like a reminder to myself to like, this is my like stay on peer motive.
Or just help people. Just write help people.
Help people.
That's it.
Help people.
Help people. Yeah.
Well, that would help me a lot. Cause I think like I, you know, like shoot, I'm really that guy. I mean, I like to be a helpful guy. I really think that this is naturally my mode, but then like you accidentally go into that sales mode, you know, I accidentally go into metrics mode.
You know, I'll tell you an example, like Joe teaches be skeptical is one of his steps, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you want to help people, it's easy to be skeptical. So I go, I look at a furnace, it's 8 years old, doesn't look in bad shape to me. I say, listen, this furnace is only 8 years old. Like, why would you want to replace it? For me, I wouldn't replace this. Right?
Yeah.
So a customer says, well, you know what? It's giving me a lot of trouble. Every couple of years it breaks down. I says, well, would you like me to send the service guy over? We can go through the whole thing and see if we can salvage it. Right? The customer says, no, I think I really want one. I'm like, you should, because it's only 8 years old, right? But see, because I'm trying to do the right thing, they're convinced that's another one of Joe's steps. Now they're convincing me to replace the furnace, mm-hmm. right? But if I went in there and I said, oh, I don't think this furnace should be replaced, but I was trying to sell a furnace, I would never get the chance to have them convince me, and I would never get the chance to be skeptical.
What's the balance on that? Because I think my natural tendency is to push people out.
Right.
Like, I think I'm scared. I'm personally, and I'm just relating my own experiences.
I push
people out because I'm scared that I don't want them to have a bad experience. So I'm scared. Like, if they don't have the right situation, I'm like, I'm actually pushing them out.
Yeah. What do you mean by that?
Well, my service is different. Mine is digital marketing. And I just like, I pre-qualify a lot. That's probably my problem. Like, I'm really scared. Like, I just don't want to have, I sometimes filter to like a lot.
Yeah, but that's not good service. Good service is letting them decide what's good for them.
Mm.
All right. So when I go, I say, listen, this is only 8 years old. I don't think this needs replaced. Why do you want to replace it? Right. I'm giving them the opportunity to explain to me why they should replace it.
Yeah.
Right. But the motive is, if I think that the furnace doesn't need to be replaced, helping people is saying that.
Yeah.
All right. And I've had people say, well, I only thought you got 8 to 10 years out of a furnace. I'm like, no, this furnace should last a lot longer than that. Here's my card. When you need something, call me.
Yeah.
Right. Because that's the right thing to do. Right. I'm not going to take advantage of them not knowing that a furnace shouldn't last more than 8 years.
What others can you just kind of rattle off any other specific things that have been like tweaks for people on your team or whatever to sell a little more?
Well, it's optionizing.
Optionizing.
Right? Optionizing. And optionizing helps so much. It's like an overcoming objection cheat sheet when you have options.
Okay.
You know what I mean, well, that's really expensive. Well, I know it's very expensive, but I gave you 6 options. What's what we talking about? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I have cheaper ones down here, but if you only get one option and they give you the objection, where you get to go?
Mm.
Right. So optionizing is like the, you know, motive first, optionizing second.
What's the third?
And
you recommend 6 right. options.
Right. Yeah. 6. Yeah. 6 at least. Yeah. In that area. Right. I think the next thing is understanding that objections are an opportunity to help people. Right. So it's another demonstration of good service. It's bad service for someone to give you an objection and you not handle it.
Yeah.
It's just bad service, right? Because what an objection is a request for more information.
I like that.
Right. So if you look at it as a request for more information, it's not an objection. You know, the next thing too, I would say, is functionality. It's funny. I had someone come ride with me from Texas, rode with me for a week, and I sold $350,000 that week. And he said to me, you know, it's kind of funny. It's like almost every one of your customers that we've sold this week, it was like a laydown. It's like they just bought from you. You know what I mean? I'm like, well, let me ask you, that last customer you just sold, how many people did he say he got prices from? He said he got prices for 4 people. I said, why wasn't it a laydown for those 4 people, but it was laydown for me? What was the difference? And he says, I says, well, think about it. Everything I did was functional, right? So I came in, I found out what his needs were, I made a presentation, I handled his objections, right? So it got down to the last thing to do was to buy. It was just a natural thing to do. So
a little bit more to that, the functionality, like what tweaks would you make in,
well, I've had in one of your guys? I've had companies that had it didn't took them too long to formulate a price.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know I mean, they didn't take their really give their salespeople the tools they need to be able to provide six options in a timely manner. I have a lot of templating I do. I have templates I put all together. I can do it real quick. You know what I mean? So yeah. When I train a guy, I just trained the guy. His first year is going to do $4.5 million, right?
Incredible.
And how I hired him, he came to my house to sell me solar, right? Okay. Yeah. And it's a good job. I made him come back on 3 Sundays, right? I knew I was going to buy the first time. I just want to see if he'd come back, right? So, and he did.
Amazing.
So after I bought the solar from him, I said, by the way, you're hired. He's like, I didn't know I was looking for a job. I'm like, I told him how much he's going to make. He says, all right, I'll come work for you. But anyway,
yeah.
Here's the thing. He came to work for me. I made him work. I do it with all my salesmen, whether they're service techs or not, I make them work as an installer for 3 months.
Good.
As a helper, right? I want them to have empathy for what it's like to be an installer, number one. And number two, I want them to understand how long it takes to do things, right? And what's the differences between a furnace and a boiler, all right? All right, and that's how they learn.
Yeah.
The next thing is they ride with me for 3 months, minimum, every single day. Mm-hmm. And when they ride with me, they're surprised that the first month we don't talk about anything salesman-y. We talk about how we put together presentations, how we find out what the customer needs. It's all about functionality, how we do everything.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Then we start working in how we present. They watch me present, how they present, and how we come over, right? So everything's so functional that we want to make the natural thing to do at the end is to buy. Mm-hmm. We want to take all the obstacles to buying out of the equation so that it just feels natural to them.
And you said financing is a big part of a lot of your presentations. Is that correct? Can you talk to me about how that plays in? Like when you offer that, is that something you guys promote as part of in marketing?
Yeah, so what I always do is I go line by line. Here's my adaptable communicating furnace, right? And here's the adaptable communicating everything. I go through the whole thing and explain what the features and benefits are of my top option. Then here's the price, you know, so it's $37,650 or this much a month.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So I show them the price and the financing at the same time.
How soon into the presentation? Sorry, I'm just like rapid firing here.
Yeah.
How soon into the presentation do you offer the price?
It's right on my first option. It's probably takes me about 10, 15 minutes to explain all the features and benefits of that.
Yeah.
And then it's the price.
Price. Okay. 10, 15 minutes. You're
right,
in.
Right. Yeah. And then of course all the rest are easy because it's this, less this. Yeah. Everything I had there, but less, just this, less that. All right. So I get objections all the time. I need you to give me a discount. I'm like, well, I did give you discounts 5 times. See, I was there and I discounted. In order for me to take money out, I need to give you something less. That's just how it works. So I'm training them that they can get as many discounts as they want, but it's going to cost them something for it.
Yeah, and I think that there's something to discounting without taking something away. It's kind of, it's actually psychologically a little scary for a prospect because they're basically kind of seeing that the price is flexible.
Wasn't honest, right? So listen, customers ask me to discount all the time. I'm saying, listen, Rodenheiser has structured the company to provide world-class customer service before, during, and after the installation. That level of quality service demands the prices we charge. All right? I give you my best price up front. So a customer said to me the other day, well, you're going to lose this job for $500? I'm like, you're going to lose a quality installation for $500?
Yeah.
Right? This is what I got. As soon as you discount, you lose credibility. I never discount. All right? I discount by my presentation, by giving them something less. Less warranty, less efficiency, right?
Yeah.
Now, sometimes I will sweeten the pot. All right? A customer, because sometimes they just want to win. Customers will say, well, listen, you know, you're going to give me a discount. Roast, you know, this is what we do. I always give you my best price up front. We just honest with me not to give you my best price up front. And they'll say, but it's when you're thinking of a discount, how much you're thinking, right? Customers sort of, well, if you would give me a $500 off, I'm like, well, I couldn't give you $500 off, but put this filter.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
Yeah, bonus.
Right. If I was to give you that, what would happen then? See, I always make them commit before I give it. I didn't tell them I'm going to give it to them.
Ooh, I like that.
But Tim, if I was to include that filter, what would happen?
I'd feel taken care of.
All right.
And if I was a certain type of prospect, I would need that, right? You're saying right. There's certain types of people that
right.
They almost need you to lose a little bit.
A little bit. Right, right. So if I was to throw in that filter, or listen, I know that you mentioned warranty is important to you. If I was to throw in a couple extra years of warranty, what would happen?
Okay, I'd do it today or something.
Right. Yeah, exactly. See, so that all right. So I don't usually do that, but I like you, Tim, and you've been a gentleman. So I'm going to include that.
Hey there. Are you a home service business owner that's tired of your answering service just kicking the can down the road? Well, we can help. Pink Collars will assign a dedicated, supported, and trained individual to answer your phones, emails, texts, and even more. Give us a call at 888-325-7465, or better yet, check us out online, www.pinkcollars.com.
So my last three questions. The first one is, we call it money in the phones. And it's put on by powersellingpros.com. What is something that you found to help your guys' phone answering systems? What is something you guys do that's particularly effective on the phones that you would recommend?
Well, see, we have a call center, right? And we have a call center manager and marketing team that handles all that.
Okay.
There's a whole script. And of course, you know, we're trying to prioritize by questions that we ask,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean? and grade the leads, right? So
yep.
Now we want to make sure we're in front of the right people at the right time, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, is this a triage or, you know, if this person, if you're in the emergency room, is this a triage? It means immediate service or do you need a Band-Aid, right?
Yep.
So they want to make sure that they ask the proper questions so they can grade the call to make sure we're in front of the best ones first.
What does the scale go up to? Is it like 1 through 4 or something?
I think it's A, B, C, D.
And the question everyone wants to know, Rick, have you worked yourself into such a place where you only get A leads?
No, I wish I could say it was the case. You know what I mean? But I don't really care what leads you give me because there's no such thing as a bad lead.
Mm.
Everyone's an opportunity.
I
want to tell you, I'll tell you another quick story.
Yep.
I was working in Rhode Island years back, and the company I worked for had been in Rhode Island for 69 years. And we also did, it's a small state, right? So in Massachusetts, we had three other salesmen, three other territories. And they used to always say the reason I sold triple what they sold is because I was in the motherland, right? Everybody knew that company because they were in there for a thing. So I got sick of hearing it. I said, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to try to help you guys. So I took each of their territories for a month. I switched with them, and I still sold three times what they sold. I actually liked Massachusetts territory better. It was a lot more affluent. They had much better rebate programs over here than I had, all right? So there's no such thing as a bad lead, all right? It's what you decide to do with that. So I don't, you know, they'll grade it just so that we make sure we're providing a better service, right? So we want to grade it because if they have no heat, we're not going to put them a week away from Mrs. Millie, who's thinking about changing her furnace, right?
Mm.
So one of the reasons we grade it to make sure that we're, you know, like in a hospital, if you're coming in and your arm's cut off and you got a cold, well, I don't care if you were here first with a cold, this guy's going to die, right?
Yeah.
But as far as the lead that I get, you know, sometimes I don't even like to look at the grade.
I like that.
Yeah, because it doesn't matter to me. I really don't care.
Okay, so the next, it's kind of a two-parter, hot takes and cold trends. So what's a hot take or like something, a controversial opinion that you have about the industry? And then the second one, So get that one ready. The second one is cold trends, something you think people should stop spending money, time, energy, or effort on.
Boy, I don't know. Hot take. I don't know. Well, I think that.
Don't hold back on us, Rick.
No, I'm not going to. I think that a lot of people are starting to understand that the homeowners are a lot more sophisticated than they used to be, and that they really have to know what they're doing. And the people have to be trained. I mean, the expectation for better service now is what is higher than it's ever been.
Mm-hmm.
Just technology, everything that we have. I mean, you call us up and, you know, we send out the link telling you I'm on the way and you can track where I am. And, you know, we're not giving you, we're giving you window. We're going to tell you what time I'm going to be there. There's a lot of things that we do that customers say, the other guy, they give me an 8-hour window. I'm going to stay home all day. I mean, it's like, you know, so a hot take is don't do that shit.
Yeah. What about cold trends?
I think it's trying to be the opposite. Just, you know, you got to get up with technology, right? You know, marketing nowadays, if you're not on social media, all right, and you're not showing up first when people go on there, you know, stop trying to save the money, cut off your nose and spite your face.
Ah, yeah.
Right?
Like
it, you get the lead, right?
It's interesting if you do that, if you say, oh, we don't need to do that or, you know, whatever. And there's respect to lots of like home, like family businesses that have been around for years that provide an insane amount of value to the community, but they're getting bought up by dudes who will.
Right.
You know what I mean? So like, it's tough. Cause it's
even Glenn Rodenheiser, they had a fantastic reputation all those years in business. And they called me cause they couldn't break 5 million.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? They just didn't know how to get to the next level.
Well, I'm happy that you helped them get to the next level. And then the last question I've got for you, sir, and I appreciate you going with me on this rapid fire thing. How do you think about competition? Because here's my deal is I get obsessed with competition sometimes, and everyone wants to tell you, and I'm cool to my competitors, by the way, I'm very cool, but I get a little in my head about it.
Yeah.
And so I'm curious what your take is on competition.
I could care less.
Yeah,
I have no, I have zero competition, and I will share whatever I know with anybody.
Mm.
It's because it's just it can again. It's
part of the reason I care is because they've messed with me. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know it's all right, but that's them. You don't have to be the same way, right? So you know, it's kind of funny. Can I tell you a competition story? You want to hear one? You have time?
Yes.
It's so funny how it can get you, and this is how it can get you. I had a salesman work for me that left and went for another company. There was a technician who wanted to be a salesman, but didn't want to be patient, went to go work as a salesman for another company. So I get a call from a customer, and I go there. The first thing he did is he says, do you know about this company over here? I'm like, well, I know who they are, but what can you tell me about them? I says, well, I really can't tell you anything about them. What I can tell you is that Rona has been in business for 96 years, world-class customer service. With us, there's no risk. All right? So I don't really care about anybody else, but if you want to talk about Rona Heinz, I could talk about it all day, but I don't talk about anybody else.
Mm.
Said, all right. So then we went to the call a little bit. He asked me about another. What about this company? I'm like, I got to tell what I told you before. I don't really care about them. I can't really speak to them, but I can do is 96 years of business, 10,000 five-star reviews in 3 years, world-class customer service. With us, there's no risk. So if you want peace of mind, you stay with us. All right. So as he was buying a $25,000 system for me, he said something to me. He said, the reason I asked about those two guys is, as I was not going to call you, you weren't even on my list. But both those companies, it was those two guys that used to work here, right?
Yeah.
Both of them said, don't call Rona Heinz, it's too expensive. And specifically, don't call for Rick Picard. He said, it got me curious what they were scared of. He said, so I called you and asked for you. I said, you know, I saw that you asked for me. I meant to ask you if it was a referral. He says, no, it was a referral, but from your competitors. I said, well, I'm going to have to call them up and thank them for the lead. You know what I mean? Well, so you can't let the competitors. I believe that all my competitors had the information I had. As an industry, there's plenty out there for everybody. Customers will just benefit more.
I think that there's a little bit of fear right now in the market around homeowners tightening their wallets or things like that. So what would you say to people that are feeling that a little bit right now?
I refuse to participate in a bad economy. World-class customer service doesn't care. It's always wanted. And in a bad economy, it's harder to get. I am not going to participate in a bad economy. I won't do it. I've been doing this 25 years. Economy has never affected me. Because I'm just not going to participate in it. I'm not going to let it get here. I'm going to do what I do. I'm going to provide the highest level of service I can to the customer. And if they want to pick it, that's great. If they don't, that's fine too.
Okay, I've got one last little question for you, all Rick. Right. I really appreciate the conversation. Any little habits or things that you do that you think affect your high performance that have been big for you? Like, I know that sometimes it's like voodoo trying to study people's like personal habits, but is there anything you do that you think really helps push up those sales?
A couple of habits. You know, some of them are personal, right? So, you know, I get up every morning and do my cold plunge, 10 minutes at 39 degrees. Then I do my workout and then I do my sauna. You know, I try to walk 4 miles a day, right? You know, at 60 years old, I try to stay in the best shape I can, right? Mm-hmm. Other habits are just habits I have. Customers call, I call them right back. People email, I respond right away. It's just that kind of stuff. Just little, you know, good habits as far as level of service to customers.
Well, when I see you at an event, if I ever get to, I'm going to try to just rub up against you just to see if I can get any of that magic. Maybe I'll do a cold plunge with you sometime.
Yeah, it's great, man. Have you ever done a cold plunge?
Oh, yeah. I've been the last 2 days I did it. We have one. Like, I've got, it's got giant chunks of ice in it right now because it's outside and it's cold here. So it's been more interesting the last couple of days. There is, you know, when you're talking about like 48 degrees versus 38 degrees, there's a big difference. So it's been
39 is what I go on, and it's great. Yeah. First 30 seconds top, after a minute and a half, I could stay in for anybody's, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
After a minute and a half, you're fine, yeah.
But it's like, I wonder if there's, I think there may not be as much benefits to stay in there that much longer after that.
From what they say 3 minutes. I do 10 minutes because I can. Yeah. But they say after 3 minutes, it's good.
Yeah, you get the main thing. All right, man. Well, thank you so much for being on. And thank you everyone for watching. Rick, where can people check you out on the internet or contact you?
Well, you know, if they want to contact me, it's Rick Picard at RodenHeisler.com. So my last name is PICARD at RodenHeisler.com. If I can help you out in any way, just I'll see what I can do to help you.
Awesome. Thank you everyone for watching and have a good one. Podcast is put on by HookAgency.com. Hook Agency all over social media. Super grateful for you guys listening and watching this, for real. We are just grateful to serve the trades. We are your Google specialized team, SEO, PPC, and websites. Thank you, everyone, for being part of it. And please like, comment, subscribe, all the stuff. All right, peace, guys.